couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. Coming up in about an hour from now from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery, our Wednesday regular, Joey Clark. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, my good friend, former state senator, but now the host of Right Side Radio in North Alabama, Phil Williams, will join us. You want to stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the live, first time guest, very glad we could get him on, make time for him, but he's the lead pastor at Pathway Church. Some of you in the western part of our listening area may know him. Travis Johnson joins us on the line. Pastor, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for making time for us. We really appreciate it. I want to get you on here and let's talk to our mutual friend, Representative Shane Stringer, about some of the things going on. I think more broadly we'll start here, though, and the trend in the culture and a lot of what we're seeing, because this is a political show, but the culture tends to lead to politics, and that's sort of the impetus for this conversation. But you look at it from a different perspective, but there's a lot of troubling things are going on, and I don't think this is just sometimes it feels like a fad, but it does feel like a shift. In some ways, it could be permanent.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, thanks for having me on this show with you, Jeff. I appreciate your voice and just the opportunity to hang out for a little bit. And I think you do point out something that is, worth taking a look at. You're talking politics this morning and culture. These are things that we intersect with all the time. And then, my job is a pastor. And so I live in all of those arenas for sure, but the one thing that I need to be faithful at is being a good pastor that represents the scriptures well and develops disciples, equips my people. And one of the things that we're told also is, to work for the good of the city. That's actually, when Israel was taken into captivity in Babylon, even under, an incredibly hostile environment, much more hostile than this. They were told to build homes, plant gardens, get married, have children, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city, because as the city prospers, we do. And so we see ourselves as just really integral parts of the city that we love so much. And Mobile is pretty incredible. I tell people all the time, I want you to get to heaven, but if you can't get to heaven, at least try and get to Mobile. It's a wonderful place.
Well, and you see what's going on here. It's like you don't want to be of the world, but you want to be in the world. And sometimes, we're kind of in this world right now that for better or for worse, that we have to exist in this environment. But I guess in some ways you want to try to set the parameters here, and it just seems like some of it's gotten away from us.
Paul talks to the church, and he goes through this long list, and it's a list of Christians, right? And it's about, liars and cheaters and gossipers, murderers, thieves, the sexually immoral. And, he sets everybody up, and then he says, and as such, some were you. He's saying this is who you are. And I think sometimes, culture will want to define the church differently than how God does, somehow being better than. But the reality is, there aren't good people and bad people in the world. There's Jesus and everybody else. And so, if we're to be considered good, it's not because of anything that any Christian has done. It's what Jesus has done in the life of a believer. And so, Paul says, I'm the chief of all sinners. So we are in the world, and there are people that don't believe the way that the church does, and then Jesus says to us about those people is that they're our neighbors and that we should love them. And so, we respect every neighbor. We're supposed to, at least. That's what our call is to do. But that doesn't mean shelving the scriptures, the teachings of Christ, in order to be seen as being loving. And so that's my agenda, is to be faithful to the Lord, love him, and be faithful to my community, to people, my neighbors, and to love them. But if I'm going to disappoint anybody, I don't want to disappoint the Lord. I want to be faithful to him.
Well, and seemingly a minor discussion about what's going to happen, particularly a lot of your parishioners out there in that part. I mean, they got a big vote coming up. Do you want to be part of the city of Mobile? I mean, I guess all this has to be taken into account, and you have to think about this. Is this something that really fits in with the cultural norms of the area there or not? I assume that's something that comes up from time to time as we have this debate.
Well, you know, I mean, everybody has an opinion on our, you know, political issues. You know, I've encouraged our people to vote. I don't want to micromanage people's votes. Also, you know, we've expressed concerns for things that are happening in the city and the county. You know, not long ago, I was invited to pray in the city council, and I abided by the rules that the things that I was asked to do. And then I believe some different national groups objected to prayer in city council and that sort of thing. It just prompted a little discussion. And so, you know, as that went, there were a number of pastors that got together and we co-signed a letter just expressing our thoughts during Pride Month in Mobile. And so, yeah, there are things that are taking place in Mobile that are concerning, that they've been expressed. And I'm really proud of the letter that we did. It's found at Mobile Bay Pastors on Facebook. I think at this point it has about 1,400 or 1,500 likes, close to about 1,000 shares. And it's a really great expression of what the gospel is. It expresses love for our neighbors, love for our city, and then, you know, just communicates our thoughts there. And so I think that, you know, we're involved. We're involved. We want believers to be involved. We want our community to be involved. And, you know, actually, when I look at Mobile, you know, regardless of your politics, Mobile is an incredibly family-friendly community, very family-centric. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. Mobile is a pretty special place. And so, you know, the idea that, you know, one of the things that's really kind of hard to grasp is how that we would be facilitating or promoting with tax dollars, you know, a drag queen performance with children in front of our, you know, cathedral. That sort of thing is concerning. And so I'm sure that weighs into people's thoughts, you know, about this time. But yeah, those types of things are on our minds.
Well, let's talk about that. So it's a government policy being used as a tool to maybe stymie the, you know, put some speed bumps or some brakes in place to keep it from going too out of control, like drag shows and children being there. I mean, when you look at this from your perspective, just how much do you want the government involved in that? Do you think that let's say, for example, the Alabama legislature says we're not going to allow this? I mean, would that be appropriate? Do you want them exerting themselves in these situations? Or is that what's necessary? Or do you think it's maybe just hope for the best and maybe cooler heads prevail?
I think that, you know, something happened this year. You know, first of all, let me say this, you know, to all of my lesbian, gay, bi, trans neighbors. You're my neighbors and you're my friends, and there's legitimate love and relationship and friendship. And that's how, you know, so many believers have been, that's how we're supposed to be. But something happened this year. It just really feels like some lines were crossed, you know, when engaging with kids. I mean, it's inside of everybody. It's not only within the church or within, you know, a family focused community, but even with the LGBTQ community, there are a number of people that say, you know, I'm just uncomfortable with Target selling like a queer baby onesie.
Right.
And that's something about that is just, you know, you're going, hey, that's a line that shouldn't be crossed. Don't mess with the kids. Or, you know, when you have a drag queen having kids sit on their lap, you're reading a story to kids, you know, the book's titled Peter the Peacock, and it's about gender ideology. People rightly get concerned about that. You know, the mama bear and the papa bear come out of people. And, you know, I don't think anybody's advocating that people not be able to self-determine their lives, but I think you know, it's rightly expressed concern when, you know, you see kids exposed to things that, hey, they really shouldn't be exposed to at this point in their life.
All right. I think there's a lot to be said about that because people are okay with, like, you know, you live your life, but when you do the defenseless and the people that, you know, children that can't make decisions for themselves, and when they're being exposed to a lot of things that people object to, it doesn't seem like they're getting a fair shake. So, but it's a problem. Here's the problem. I mean, how much government do you want policing this versus trying to determine, where do you determine the right line? Well, what's the right recipe, if you will, from a policy perspective?
Well, let me kind of come at that differently, if that's okay with you, Jeff.
That's fine.
Let's say if you switch from policing to platforming. So do we want to actively, you know, turn our logos rainbow, install pride flags on, you know, county, city property, and promote it? You know, for instance, the AL.com article that referenced my prayer and then, you know, kind of launched off into some kind of thought that there's anti-LGBTQ stuff, which my prayer never even mentioned anything about. I mean, it was the same kind of prayer that I've prayed at Alabama State House, Florida State House, NASCAR National, you know, championship race. You know, even on that AL.com article, there is a paid promotion by Visit Mobile, which is funded by city and county tax money, but, you know, primarily, almost exclusively, city tax money, and it's promoting the Pride Parade and the drag queen. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't know that, you know, Mobile is actually wanting to fund that sort of thing. So I don't know that it's necessary policing, but do we want to platform it? Do we want
to endorse it? Do we want to condone it? Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got to have, I mean, the message that sends to the rest of the country, this is, you want your elected officials to sort of be the voice of what the people think, and kind of, you know, and it's not clear that that is quite the direction. That's the face they want to be of Mobile. I think that's a totally reasonable thing.
Do we want you know, officially platformed LGBTQ liaisons who are publicly stating in articles that their goal is to get a 100 score from Human Rights Campaign? Human Rights Campaign advocates for drag queens reading sexually charged gender ideology, you know, conversation storybooks to children. It would endorse, you know, 100 score, I believe, would provide some type of gender affirming care, for families and children. You know, there's a lot of little pieces there. Is it going to force employees to use someone's self-selected gender pronoun, cause them to violate conscience or to list their own pronouns in a signature line? You know, what is the end goal of Human Rights Campaign? I know when I read Human Rights Campaign material, you know, I'm not really excited about that.
Right. I mean, it's a far, far left organization. It does not at all, I think, the mainstream view of anybody. I'm sure there's some people that would like to see that, but that has to be troubling, because it's just like this alien sort of organization that's very antithetical to, I would say, a majority of the people, and they're getting kind of a special treatment. Like we're having to kowtow to these guys for what? It's just their social score, and that's going to make us more appealing to outside businesses. I don't think you want to.
The business, government contract, is it going to be an issue for employers, contractors, people that do business with the city?
You don't want to sell out. You don't want to sell out the culture for the kind of giveaways, right? Like, you don't want to sell out your held beliefs, and that's what I think a lot of people are concerned about.
I think so too.
Yeah,
I think so too.
Well, you watch it and you wonder which way this is headed. So, I mean, the other thing that's kind of troubling to me, Pastor, and you mentioned this about the prayer and the AL.com article, but just to push back against religion in general for having these beliefs, it's hard to imagine for me. I mean, I grew up in this state that this we would even be having this discussion, that you would, as a church leader, mm-hmm. would have to have these fights. Like, some of these things I thought we had long settled, but it's kind of creeping in ways that I, you know, if you'd asked me 20 years ago, I was like, this is not going to ever be a problem. But here we are having this discussion.
I think it's a divisive discussion. Mobile is a really caring, loving community. And, you know, I've never once asked someone what their gender is before they come into our church. We have four campuses in Mobile. You know, we have two campuses in West Mobile. We have a campus in Foley. Actually, we're opening a new property there August 13th. We're really excited about that. Our campus there is about a year old. And, you know, we've never asked anybody what their gender ideology is. There's not like a litmus test to come into the church. In fact, all of Mobile is welcome at Pathway Church. It's an incredible place. We're one of the most diverse churches and one of the largest diverse churches in all of South Alabama. And I'm telling you, this issue, it's not just a rural issue. In fact, the letter that was signed by pastors, these are prominent pastors in our community, people from, you know, smaller corner churches. It cuts across all political parties, racially diverse. These are incredible people. And it is a real concern that, you know, the activism that, you know, actually one of the LGBTQ liaisons is, you know, posing in front of the rainbow cannon that was painted in rainbow on Veterans Day. This is a hostile posture. It's not LGBTQ versus the heterosexuals. There are outside groups from outside of Mobile that are very activistic, and the 100 score, which is, you know, one of the liaisons has stated they want to get Mobile too, which Mobile has gone from, you know, like a 19 score to 42. We're now number 3 score in the state. You know, it's just a real strong, it's a very strong push. And, you know, I think there's concern across all stratas, you know, socioeconomic, racial, age. And, you know, I haven't really gotten involved in the annexation discussion. You know, my discussion has been private, mostly until recently, you know, but I've been talking with my leaders for some time about, you know, last year. It was
right.
Visit Mobile was promoting LGBTQ family friendly picnics with a picture of 3 drag queens that look like linebackers. And I'm going, that's actually not family friendly.
It's not indicative of a family friendly atmosphere. Hey, Pastor.
Right. And then so when Visit Mobile, you know, is promoting on the same page that we embrace all love, I'm thinking, you know, nobody asked. You know, I'm not sure. I don't think that's going to pull properly. So,
right.
You know, it's the activistic, you know, editorializing. People are going, hey, you know, I'm not sure if I'm ready for that.
Pastor, we got to cut it short there. We're out of time. But
hey, Jeff,
you're
man,
very
I really
kind
enjoyed
for coming
it.
On.
Thanks so much.
We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thank you.
That was Travis Johnson from Pathway Church. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is Jeff Porcel on FM Talk 106.5. Mona.